Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This, my fellow Americans, is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful. Did I say peaceful? Restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Wow, do we have a barn burner broadcast for you today, to say the least. A quick recap of yesterday's show is in order, available in archive form for free at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, tell your neighbors, would you please? Fox News announced that they are having Larry Kudlow, Trump's former top economic advisor, as kind of their new host. So the revolving door of the media continues, ladies and gentlemen. Donald Trump complains about the swamp, but that's where he gets his media personnel revolving into his administration. And then all of a sudden they get tossed back to the media. Ask McEnany, ask Kudlow. They all get tossed back to the very news that's supposedly the enemy. Very strange revolving door there. It happens in all administrations, including Donald's. The U.S. House of Representatives provided no evidence. No witnesses, and now that Trump is out of office, there's no constitutional authority for the Senate trial slash second impeachment of a, what do you call it? Just an average citizen there, Donald Trump, citizen there, tried by the Senate. Imagine a manipulation like that going on before your very eyes. It's political theater, to say the least. It's got conflict of interest all over it. You don't have Supreme Court justices or the vice president who used to be who's supposed to be the tiebreaker in the Senate there. Neither of those folks are doing the trial. It's left up to Patrick Leahy. They say he's a witness. They say he's also a senator. They say he's also a prosecutor. They say he's a man. I don't know how more conflicting of interest it gets than that, but why doesn't the appropriate entities take this on? Because they're criminals and they don't dare. That's why. Facebook, they say, was the most used media service to take on this Capitol riot. And they say, hey, FBI or DOJ documents show this, that the Facebook was the most used to organize. So my question is, why isn't Facebook on trial? If they were the ones that allowed the organization of it all and via their service there, then, you know, we ought to be charging Facebook, not Donald, right? Interesting twist, huh? The most important elements of the impeachment trial, we went over those. They got 6 hours each to, you know, express their views. They're supposed to determine if the vote should even go forward. And, well, one more senator capitulated with the Democrats, so it was 46 to 54. And anyway, they're going to go ahead with the impeachment, not likely to convict, but nevertheless, the political theater continues. Senator Rand Paul accused Democrats of having a double standard when it comes to speech and condoning violence. Senator Rand Paul says this impeachment is the antithesis of unity. Amen to that reality check. Hour two, we talked about a flashback when Kamala Harris joked about killing Donald Trump and Mike Pence. Yeah, she was on with Ellen and they kind of laughed about it. If you're in an elevator with Mike Pence, Donald Trump, or Jeff Sessions, you know, who would you rather be in the elevator with? Ellen jokes, and Kamala says, does one of us have to come out alive? Not very funny. Unhinged Chuck Schumer threatens Supreme Court Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. No one seemed to bat an eye about that. Threatening language. He even said, you don't even know what hit ya. That kind of language, folks. Maxine Waters commits sedition, calls for violence against all Trump administration officials. If you see them anywhere, let them know that they're not welcome. Form a crowd and push back was the words used on that one. Tulsi Gabbard doing a pretty dang good job, Democrat of, well, former Democrat of Hawaii. She says domestic terrorism laws directly undermine liberty. Amen to her point. BLM and Antifa march in Washington, D.C., threaten to burn down Washington. There you have that for extremism. AOC doubles down, says she will not apologize for saying that Senator Ted Cruz almost had her murdered during the January 6th Capitol riot scenario. So she's doubling down. AOC on Capitol riots, that's Ocasio-Cortez, right? She says members were nearly assassinated. CNN reports that. So wait a minute, we're going to get at Fox for saying you can't report that there might be concerns with the elections? Election fraud, but yet, you know what? CNN could double down with AOC and says, hey, you know what? People were almost assassinated there. Who was almost assassinated? No, Ted Cruz didn't offer or try to kill anyone, but AOC is allowed to say whatever she wants to say. Loose lips sink ships, though, ladies and gentlemen. There will be political payback, I promise. And I don't mean that in a belligerent or violent sense at all. I just mean, you know what? Let's go 22. At the polls, we're going to make a change. Hopefully, Americans will see the truth and we can get a handle on this vote fraud scenario. Tom Brady's accomplishments has earned him the title of the greatest quarterback of all time, but there's a fly in the ointment. He's now called racist. Why? Because he won the Super Bowl during Black History Month. No, can't do that, ladies and gentlemen. School backtracks on Black History Month in Utah. School, nearly all white, tried to allow parents to opt out of Black History Month shenanigans. The school was hesitant to let parents opt their kids out, and now everyone went ballistic, and now they reversed their decision. You can't opt your kids out. Well, it's been time for a long time, but I highly recommend you get your kids out of the government school cesspool, because I'm telling you right now, they will indoctrinate your children. Make no mistake about that, ladies and gentlemen. Now, am I against Black History Month? Of course not. I believe everybody ought to celebrate their own heritage. We're all God's children, and we ought to behave like it. But the propaganda surrounding Black History Month and the manipulation that white people are the enemy and that white people have payback and everything else is the fraudulent narrative I absolutely 1,000% reject. Okay, I'm sad about the mistakes America's made in the past, but I am not responsible for Adam's transgression, and I will not apologize for something that I didn't do. I believe we're all God's children. We should treat each other such. How do you like that, you racists? New jobless numbers suggest progress towards recovery has stalled, and $15 minimum wage could cost 1.4 million jobs. But don't worry, the government will take care of you, and they'll just send you a check. Where are they going to get the money, folks? Governments don't generate revenue of any kind. All they do is steal from the public. And the greater the steal, the greater the handout. Americans are sadly realizing they could vote largesse from the Treasury. And I'm telling you right now, historically speaking, it ain't going to go well. Pardon the French. I guess Morgan Wallen, you know, country singer, he's now ineligible. The NAACP wants to talk to him about his racist remarks. And he was drinking, and he said things he shouldn't have said. And I, you know, condemn that. But that doesn't mean that'll ruin his career. AOC can run around and say white supremacists cause all these problems, and she can push the race card narrative, et cetera, et cetera. All I can tell you is, you know, calling me a white supremacist, is that like calling somebody the N-word? Just saying. Very, very strange double standards in our society everywhere. Anyway, I digress, except to say that's the recap of the incredible broadcast, 2 hours of hard-hitting talk that took place yesterday, available at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. Now, we are live 6 days a week, 2 hours a day on the Sabbath. We rest as the good Lord intended. Wow, folks, transitioning into news the networks refuse to use starts now. I've got two incredible gentlemen with me. The first one I want to welcome back, who's finally halfway free is the way I would describe it. He's halfway free. We'll explain in seconds. Mr. Steve Stockman, my good brother, welcome back, sir.
Thank you for having me on. It's good hearing your voice.
Oh, man, it's hard to even know how to talk about what happened to you. Let's summarize. You were put in prison after four manipulated grand jury attempts. They manipulated the evidence. They had people wrongly testify. I could go on and on and on, but suffice it to say, they put you in prison supposedly for a decade. You suffered plenty. Eventually, you got let out, but not pardoned. Give us kind of the summary there, would you please?
Yeah, we, as you probably know, we were whistleblowers, and we're supposed to get protected from investigation, if you whistleblow, I exposed Hillary selling dual-use steel to Iran, or she facilitated that, and that was only published in WorldNet Daily and Newsweek. And other than that,
and that's the uranium that was sold, right?
No. This is separate. This is something that a lot of people don't know. She sold the steel to make the centrifuges, and it's very rarely reported. But I wrote a letter asking for an investigation. I gave the sales slips, and it was done facilitated by her office, and it was done by the Ukrainian oligarch, who is her largest donor to her nonprofit. And it's scurrilous that it didn't make more news. I can later send it up, and you can put some of the documents up on your website. But that's another reason why I was targeted. Plus, I was friends with Ukraine. I had a lot of interactions with Ukraine. I was there right after the revolution. And the Ukraine intelligence service gave me some of this information. And one of the Ukraine officers was involved in helping Hillary get elected. So Fiona Hill, which falsely testified that Ukraine was not involved, that it was a Russian lie, it's not a Russian lie. It's factual. Ukraine was involved, but they were involved because they were afraid of Paul Manafort. So anyhow, it's
hey,
great being back.
Why don't you just lay off my wife? Yeah. I don't know why you just keep hitting on my wife like that, Steve. I don't know what's going on with that. We got another guest coming up. Steve will continue his story, ladies and gentlemen. He's halfway free. He is home with his lovely wife, and thank the good Lord for that. Details coming up in seconds on your favorite hard-hitting talk show, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Stockman, home with his wife. Thank the good Lord for that. Steve Stockman, former congressman from Texas, now a political prisoner in his own country. I submit to you still, it is time to fight back. DefendAPatriot.com is his website. Now, when I say it's time to fight back, folks, that's not violent fight words, okay, like they want to manipulate you to believe. Don't buy the lie. Don't die. Accept the truth for what it is. I want to fight for what is right, peacefully, morally, using the checks and balances I speak of so fondly. You know what? Revolution is not the answer. Peaceful restoration is. And to anybody who suggests different is absolutely dishonest, criminal, direct from Satan's spawn. Folks, I'm telling you right now, we can't have this manipulation of words and intentions, judging the heart like the thought police might do. Okay, that's got to stop. I digress. Steve Stockman was telling you about this deal from Hillary and how she's enriching her coffers by selling out, and he had the paperwork to prove it, and they didn't like it. Continue there, Steve.
Well, then there were other things I did, too, as you know, which I'll send you the documents if you want to post it. But we also exposed Lois Lerner. We also exposed the money being transferred to Haqqani Network, which your listeners here are familiar with Haqqani. They're the violent wing of the terrorist organization, Al-Qaeda. And Obama sent millions and millions of dollars in a ransom payment for Berg Bergdahl, who was an American trader who, if you recall, he wandered off, and several of our soldiers looking for him got killed. But long story short is I knew a lot, and they know that. But unfortunately, for my concern is, now that Obama's essentially back in with his sock puppet Biden, you're going to see more Christians and conservative persecuted. And I fear for my brother Sam Bushman. I don't want him and the targets. We got to join together, unite, and defend liberty and defend freedom of speech.
Amen. There's a headline on your website that I think says it all, and that's this. DOJ, the Department of Justice, targeted other conservatives before Trump/Stockman abuses. This has been going on for a long time, and you're just simply saying not only has it been going on for way longer than people realize, but it's going to escalate, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's one guy I really want you to pray for. In fact, I have a hard time talking without crying, because they are verbally and physically abusing him right now as we speak. He was thrown in solitary confinement since June. His name is Senator John Woods. He was the only guy to support Trump and Hillary from Hillary's home state. Hillary hated it, so they contrived a case against him. The FBI admitted on the stand he lied. He destroyed evidence that would have set John free. John got an unprecedented, unbelievable 18 years in prison. And his crime, he submitted to a Christian college, some grant money to help a Christian college. This is a distortion of unbelievable portion. I ask that you pray for Senator John Woods and that you keep it. And if you guys can, he's now in, he's down in a Texas prison now. Please write him, keep him in your prayers, but don't let him think he's alone. He's a true conservative guy who just spoke out, great Christian guy, and he needs to be supported and not forgotten.
He's a former conservative Arkansas state legislator as well. And what has he got, an 18-year sentence?
Yeah, I did. It's unbelievable. It was an Obama judge. The Obama judge allowed the FBI agent to destroy the critical information on his laptop. John's, the attorneys, there were two attorneys that subpoenaed the laptop. So the FBI agent took it down to a place, paid cash so he'd try to cover up his crime, and wiped the computer slate clean with subpoenaed documents, which you notice there's a pattern here. Anytime the DOJ asks for something, the computers get wiped clean. That goes for Lois Lerner, Hillary Clinton. There's a whole long list of them. Even FBI agents wiped their computers clean. So he took it, wiped it clean, then wiped it again at his house, turned it over, and the judge ruled that, yeah, he lied. He destroyed evidence, but who cares? And went on with the trial without John's due process in full intact.
Absolute criminal behavior,
horrible.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the highest echelons, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. But the problem is that I'm worried. I just heard on this morning NPR, they're trying to accuse Louis Gohmert of sedition. And Louis may think he's immune from prosecution, but I can attest as my own case, and even with Trump, they went after a president. Nobody's immune from prosecution. They're going to make a gallant effort to wipe out anybody in the military that is even supporting any kind of conservative causes. It's quite alarming.
It is incredibly alarming, ladies and gentlemen. We will keep our eye on this ball. We will have Steve back to kind of brief us on this. I'm learning more about John's case and what's going on. But even Town Hall News, a very well-known, for the most part, mainstream news service, Town Hall was begging Trump to pardon John Woods. And you know what? If we don't get this done, folks, it's only going to get worse. Let's bring Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America. He's not with them now. He's retired, but he's speaking about all things liberty. You've been watching these cases as much as I have, haven't you, Larry?
For a long, long time, I learned about how the deep state operates from the experience I had at Gun Owners, dealing with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and increasingly the FBI became just as corrupt as the BATF. So I've seen this for years and years and years, and it's enough of a problem that even in the White House, that happily at least took Steve out of jail, there was enough of a deep state, even in the White House, and a division among the staff of the president himself, Donald Trump, that instead of a full pardon, Steve got a commutation of sentence, which is, you know, I praise the Lord for that, because he's out of jail, which was not a healthy place to be, especially a guy with diabetes, and they want to load him up with carbs. But nevertheless, this is something that I think we need to realize, that it's hard for a guy like Trump even to find people who are going to be loyal to the message that he wants to have put into policy. And so we had maybe some lip service, but I had talked to people that directly dealt with the White House, and some were good, some were very good, and some were not. And so I think
the ones that were not seem to have the greater share of power at this point. Steve, let's talk a little bit about the difference between a full pardon and a commutation, because people aren't really, in my opinion, legal termed caught up on this, right?
Right. We had, by the way, we had 47 conservative organizations, because my case switches fundamentally nonprofit, conservative nonprofits, and people like Larry Pratt stood side by side with me. In fact, to be honest with you, Larry's like family. He was the first one to ever endorse me for running for office. And Larry, quite frankly, was told, why are you endorsing that guy? He can't win. He's too conservative. And we won in a heavily Democrat district. But the difference between a pardon and a commutation is that you're still guilty with commutation, and you're still obligated to the government, and I have to report. I'm even cautioned about what I say. In other words, I'm on a short leash. I can't travel. There's a lot of restrictions, including freedom of speech, freedom of Second Amendment. So my First and Second Amendments are restricted. And quite frankly, I think this administration will probably do something to try to get me thrown back in prison, which I hope's not the case. My wife and I are both not spring chickens, and we really need each other. That's what we have, is just each other. But a commutation is merely letting you out of prison, nothing else. But I appreciate the president for doing that.
No question. And I will say this too. You know, guys like me, used to say to people like the Hammonds, Dwight and Steve Hammond, we literally went to their doorstep and sang Amazing Grace on their doorstep, ladies and gentlemen. And I gave them both a hug, him and his wife, and said, you know what, Dwight, we won't stop until you're free. And I've made that promise to Steve as well. And I'll say this publicly, but you know what? I thought I had more friends, and I thought I had more influence than maybe I have. Even Trump doesn't have the influence that he thought he had. And so I don't mean that to be a negative statement. I'm not suggesting that we'll give up. What I'm telling you is that, you know what? You find out who your friends really are, because there's a lot of people that I thought I could call that, man, they if you corner them, they say they feel your pain and they'll work on it. And then nothing happens. If you can't corner them, you can't get a hold of them. If you get a hold of them in some way that's not a forced response, then they ignore you. And I'm shocked about what I've really discovered in the real world about this. You know what? They don't have much use for me when I'm bringing up things that they're not ready to take on or whatever else. And some will say things like, you know what, Sam, we can do nothing for you, although your cause is just. Others will say, Sam, I'm so sorry, but it's beyond my control. Others blatantly, honestly admit they don't dare. I mean, I have seen the responses all over the map, but to the point where you just go, are you kidding me right now? When we get back, we'll talk to Larry and Steve about that. Steve Stockman, Larry Pratt on your radio. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Yeah. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Senate will move forward with the impeachment of President Trump.
On this vote, the ayes are 56, the nays are 44, and pursuant to S. Res. 47, the Senate having voted in the affirmative on the foregoing question, the Senate shall proceed with the trial as provided under the provisions of that resolution.
The trial will resume at noon Eastern on Capitol Hill. 67-year-old Gregory Ehrlich of Buffalo, Minnesota, opened fire at an all-in a clinic Tuesday morning, about 40 miles northwest of Minneapolis. Unhappy with the health care he'd received, opened fire killing one person and wounding four others. Bomb technicians were investigating a suspicious device left there. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban said Tuesday he decided before the season began not to play the national anthem before the team's home games. Cuban didn't elaborate on his decision not to play the anthem, but did say nobody had noticed. USA Radio News.
Can you really believe the news? So much spin. Americans just don't trust big media. And if you're really tired of the old news, check out Newsmax TV, the fastest growing network in America. It's on all major cable systems. Each night, watch Newsmax TV and see big shows with Sean Spicer, Greg Kelly, Lindsey Keith, Stinchfield, and Rob Schmidt. They're exposing Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi's surprising agenda. So tune into Newsmax anytime. If your cable doesn't carry it, call them and tell them you can go to another service that does. Or you can download the Newsmax app on your smartphone. It's free, and you can watch it anywhere in the world. Newsmax is also free on TVs like Samsung, LG, and Vizio. And millions of people watch Newsmax on Roku, YouTube, Pluto, Zumo, Apple TV, and more. There's a reason 30 million Americans watch Newsmax TV all the time. Check it out today. Newsmax is real news for real people.
What was that strange light up in the sky in South Florida Tuesday night? USA Radio News' John Clemens reports.
It was only a test of a Trident ballistic missile that got all those people stirred up on Tuesday. But over the next several months, we're going to be hearing a lot about anomalous aerial vehicles. Ariana Pollack of Military.com explains Congress wants an accounting by U.S. intelligence agencies.
They want to know if Russia or China are in possession of some sort of technology that, you know, the United States might not even know about yet. So if those things are lingering by U.S. bases or, you know, even on the coasts of the United States, lawmakers want to know about it, and they want to see, you know, what the military is going to do to try to counteract or deter it.
From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
Confirmation hearings have been scheduled for February 22nd and 23rd for Merrick Garland, President Biden's nominee to be U.S. Attorney General. Garland is a federal judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
11liberty.net, our national syndicator, I should say, the program. Spreading the word like nobody's business, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Stockman with us. DefendAPatriot.com is website. He's still a political prisoner, ladies and gentlemen. He had his sentence commuted, and I'm glad for that. He's out at home with his lovely wife where he belongs. Thank heavens for that. But it's not enough, folks. He hasn't been pardoned. He's still watched like a hawk. And the fear is, just like most of what President Trump accomplished, you know what? A lot of it's going to be overturned by Biden. Whacked out Joe's going to go crazy on us all. It's retribution time, big time, as Steve points out. Hey, they've been putting political prisoners in prison, wrongfully so, for a long time. And let me give you a 30-second update on my history with this. George Hansen used to be a congressman from Idaho, literally 25 years ago or so. I used to interview George after he got out of prison and talk about the diesel therapy they gave him and the abuse that he experienced for trying to take on and stop the IRS from their criminal abuses. And literally, eventually, the government admitted they were wrong and they gave poor George Hansen. Ladies and gentlemen, this stuff is dear to my heart. This is serious. Anyway, they gave him a $10,000 or a $20,000 stipend and said, oh, we're so sorry, we were wrong, you were right. But it was a day late and a dollar short after they ruined his career, after they literally beat him up and destroyed his health, and he died not too long after that. I go way back to defending political prisoners to that point, ladies and gentlemen. I go back a long way. And all I'm telling is I really thought in Steve's case, you know what, we can do something for Steve. We can do something for Dwight Hammond. We can, and you know what? I'm glad they, Dwight and Steve are home now. I'm grateful they've been released and their sentences were pardoned. I'm grateful that Steve's released and at least we've got something done, but it's not enough. And I feel like I've failed at the mission. But ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake, I, Richard Mack, and others will never, I'm going to say it again, never give up. Larry, you find out who your friends are, don't you?
You do, and frequently you find that they may not have been quite as many as you thought. And I think what we're describing in part is what's been referred to lately as the deep state. An order can be given to release Steve Stockman, and it's, yeah, you and who else? The deep state has ways of just ignoring and even just going 180 degrees the other way when they get a command from the elected chief of government, the president of the United States. And this was going on in Steve's case. It's been going on in so many cases, not only judicial, but legislative matters. The deep state has been ruling because they are so big and so deeply dug in that even when you know in general what's going on, you can't say, well, John Smith is the guy that's responsible for that particular outrage, because you can't see everybody that's deeply embedded like a bunch of termites.
Steve, the ball was thrown laterally to you, sir.
Well, I want to say this. I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Sam Bushman's involvement in trying to get me a pardon, too. I appreciate the efforts you did, and I appreciate the ongoing efforts you're doing to defend freedom. We had a lot of brothers and sisters in conservative and Christian movements that were really helping us out. And I want to state something here. If you go now and look at what happened, is that Trump allowed, was talked into, I believe, to allow the DOJ to make the decisions. And two people who were violently opposed to Trump, Snoop Dogg and Rod Rosenstein, if you look on the list of people who pardon, you repeatedly see Rod Rosenstein's name on there. He pardoned his friends. They pardoned a liberal Democrat from Detroit mayor who was in prison, or sentenced to prison for a very long time. And yet you see a list of conservatives and Christians that were not. And in fact, Judge Jeanine was assured that her ex-husband would be pardoned. And they didn't do that, and so she called the president, apparently, on Air Force One right before he was to leave office, and the president signed the order. So there was a lot of conservatives, shockingly, left behind. And if we compare it to Obama, he released 1,100 people, including Clinton and Obama released the terrorists that shot up Congress. How ironic is that? There was blood. Sam, there's blood on the floors as we walk up the stairs, and Larry knows this. He's walked the hall of Congress. There's blood on the steps from Puerto Rican terrorists who shot at congressmen. We had
and they're okay, and we're going to ignore all the Steve Scalise attack and everything
right.
else, and we're going to say Donald said peacefully, patriotically go to the Capitol and influence the folks to look into vote fraud, and now even President Trump they're going to get if they can.
Oh, they will, because at the end of my trial, I should point out, they said this is the prosecutor that's now the head prosecutor of the public integrity session. He closed out after our trial and says, we're going to use this to go after Trump. He verbally said that.
Is it recorded? Is it on record?
Sorry?
Is it recorded? Do we have a, is it on record? Can we get a copy
no,
of that?
No, no. He was talking after trial was closed. Everybody's packing up their stuff. They were so giddy. And the problem is that there's an excellent brief, and I don't know if it's posted on our website, but it's by Mark Fitzgibbons, who articulates how the dynamics of nonprofits from this case has been changed. It's now in the hands of the government what they determine what is ethical use of the money. And, of course, in their eyes, the only ethical use of money is to enrich Democrats. But Biden raised $3 to $4 million for cancer research for children. $0 went to the children. It all went to his pocket. None of that's coming out in public. None of that's being held accountable.
Hey, Hunter's a good dude, and he's getting off drugs. Come on, Steve. He's
Well, no, this is
Come on, man.
Yeah, that's right. No, this is Joe Biden that did this. He enriched himself from his cancer nonprofit. I wish that would be made more public. This is, by the way, one reason why I'm in prison, because I make that kind of thing public.
Understand. Ladies and gentlemen, this is something I want to highlight, too. Steve's pointing to a very subtle thing that you may not understand unless I point it out directly, blatantly. They are changing the affairs of this country. And as Steve said, they're changing the way that it works. They're changing the dynamics. They're literally crossing lines and establishing dishonest, immoral, unconstitutional precedent so that they can then rely on it and mock anybody who believes in the original due process and every other form of innocent until proven guilty. I could go on and on. But let me give you an example to make Steve's point. This is really an important example. I've got a friend by the name of James Edwards. He's a dear family friend. James Edwards does a radio program called The Political Cesspool that I syndicate. Now, they always claim James Edwards is a racist. Now, they lie. He does advocate for the white race, but he basically says, hey, you know what? I believe all races are fine. I just believe that if black people can advocate for their race, I can advocate for my race. And so I want white people to have children, and I want white people to do well, and not at the expense of black people. But I want them to be free to make their own choices, and I believe in Southern heritage and da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, the point is James gets slaughtered on a daily basis because how you dare stand up for white people, you must be some kind of a white supremacist. So they lie about James, but the lies went to a dishonest pinnacle, is why I'm telling you all this. Now, I don't believe James is a racist for a second. In fact, when I was, I anchored James's show while James was at the Republican Donald Trump rally. And believe it or not, James Edwards was in the fence with a lot of other broadcasters, and a lady got locked out because she was late. I can't remember what network she was from. But it turns out that this lady, nobody would let her in there. They just looked over at her and kind of smiled and went, sorry, sucker. James Edwards literally got up, took off his headphones, and went and opened the gate so this lady could go in. Well, she was a black lady. James is white. So all the different people that say James is a racist, they lie. Okay, and they even claim I'm a racist because I associate with James, guilt by association. Well, the reason I'm telling you this whole story is because it relates directly to the affairs of the country that are being changed, subtly changed behind the scenes, and you will wake up and have a different America than you've ever known. It won't be America where you're innocent until proven guilty. It won't be America where there's due process of law. It won't be an America where a speedy trial is afforded to someone, where you have a right to remain silent, or where you have a right to, which, by the way, is a misnomer. But anyway, all these things will not be to your advantage or to your defense anymore. So here's what happened. The Michigan newspaper said that James Edwards was a leader of the KKK. All right? The Detroit Free Press said that James Edwards was a leader of the KKK. Now, James Edwards sued the Detroit Free Press because not only is James not a leader of the KKK, he's not even a member. In fact, he doesn't even agree with the KKK. Well, James sued, and here's what the judge came back and said. Are you ready? It is factual that you are not a leader of the KKK, and it's factual that you are not even a member of the KKK. But based on Aesop's fables, based on the company you keep, we're going to let it stand. The Detroit Free Press can say that if they want to. Case dismissed. Appeals rejected. When we come back, we'll have Steve respond to this. Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, live with you, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Stockman with me, Larry Pratt with me. Steve Stockman's website, defendapatriot.com. So we're talking about how Steve mentioned that they are changing the affairs of the country behind the scenes, folks. No more of this innocent until proven guilty. No more of this speedy trial. No more of this transparency and the right to face thine accusers. No more of due process and all the things that we hold so dear in America. They're jettisoning that like you wouldn't believe. So James Edwards, in this, in my opinion, critical case, he's never been a member of the KKK. He's not a leader of the KKK, but the Detroit Free Press said, yay, he's a leader of the KKK. It's a lie. And the court said, we know that's a lie. We know the truth is he's not a leader. He's not even a member. But based on Aesop's fables, the company he keeps, we're going to say it stands. And they threw the case out. James lost. The Detroit Free Press won. And now they're using that case to change the law books to where case precedent will be against you in these cases. Now, here's the interesting thing. The quintessential example of what used to be libel and slander was this example of you can't claim someone's a leader of the KKK or a KKK if they aren't. But now that's all gone by the wayside, Steve. And whether you agree with James or not isn't the point. The point is the court case changing precedent that set. They're literally updating law books all across the country based on that case. You've probably heard nothing by design, by the way. You've heard nothing about, Steve.
Yeah, this is something that's really disturbing. For instance, when I was in Congress, I was called both a Zionist and anti-Semite. So I'm an anti-Semite Zionist, which is pretty amazing. They pretty much did the same thing with Trump.
Said he was anti-Semitic. Ain't that a contradiction of terms, but anyway.
Well, I'm saying that even with Trump, they call him anti-Semitic, and yet in Israel, they named towns after him. They love him. And yet the way they portrayed him was to be anti-Semitic. They also portrayed him as being anti-Muslims. But in the Middle East, they negotiated peace, and he's nominated for like 4 Nobel Prizes. So the terminology can be thrown around. If you're conservative, it doesn't matter what the facts are. And for instance, in my case, I sat down. We had I picked a subcommittee in the Foreign Affairs, which nobody wanted, which was the subcommand on Sub-Sahara Africa, and our Democrat colleagues would never even show up. And yet we had Mark Meadows, myself, and Chris Smith were the three that would show up, and we'd have Africans come in testifying about their abuse and how we could help them. And it's really surreal. It's very much in the pattern of George Orwell, you know, where everything's named reverse. I might also point out in the Bible, it says in the end times, you know, there'll be the good will be called evil and evil good. And I think we're seeing this borne out in our current history.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It is very, very serious, and they're changing the affairs of this nation. I'm telling you, you're not going to wake up in the same country you think you had. Larry Pratt, as you finished at Gun Owners of America, did you see that kind of changing of reality and changing of expectations behind the scenes?
This is the kind of war game that goes on constantly. We're not violating the Second Amendment. We're just doing this for public safety. Well, that's a lie on two levels. First of all, the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed, and they infringe all the time. And it turns out that after they're finished infringing people's Second Amendment liberties to own guns, something that predates the Constitution, jurisdictions in which that is carried out become more dangerous. What are the most dangerous places, generally speaking, anywhere in our country where the Second Amendment has been most severely attacked and restricted, shall I say infringed? And that's, I think we need to call these people out. But they play games with words. And just let me go back a second to the travail that Steve went through was a conviction on exercising First Amendment protected speech. There was even a Supreme Court decision called Citizens United that said when you're talking about a public affairs issue, as long as you refrain from saying vote for or vote against John Doe for Congress or whatever, you can say whatever you want. And Steve Stockman was convicted precisely in that zone. He never was saying vote for or vote against, but he was expressing opinions, and he went to jail for expressing an opinion.
And this idea that because you're elected, you lose your ability to have your own mind and your own thought and your own belief system is what I'm talking about. That used to be, what's the proper word, sacrosanct or whatever else, where it was like an untouchable, of course you have that. Now that's all in jeopardy and question, Steve.
Absolutely, and it's alarming that our friends have been divided and effectively divided through this charade. You know, I call it mostly peaceful demonstration. You had, I think the photographs of that, by the way, is one of the largest rallies. I don't know how the press gets away saying there were several thousand there. If you look at it, it goes beyond it went beyond the Washington Monument. And some of those photographs, experts have said there was up to 1 million people there. And the fact that there was a very few people.
And where are you talking about again?
This January 6th, the rally.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you there was close to 1 million people eventually at the rally. There were several hundred thousand that even went to the Capitol. There was only maybe 100 to 200 at the most that even went inside the Capitol. So we're talking about minuscule reality of some extremists, which I reject, by the way. Now, going into the Capitol isn't an evil crime like they want you to believe either. But the destruction of property and violence and stuff certainly is, and we stand 1,000% against it. Nevertheless, they manipulate reality so bad that Americans can't even see straight when it comes to the truth of what really happened and who's really guilty.
Yeah, in fact, what? Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Steve. Yeah, so I'm saying it depends, you know, it's hard to even understand. Americans can't get the truth. The media is so dishonest and manipulative that Americans can't even understand the truth. You wanted to respond, Larry?
Yeah, I was saying that the January 6th episode was instigated by some Antifa folks, one of whom, John Sullivan, has been arrested numerous times for his violent activity. So whatever some poor, misguided yokel from the right was doing, it was all predicated on something pre-planned days before, even a couple of weeks before, we now know, and hardly a word about that involvement of the hard left is talked about, and it's all been pinned on the right, and I just say, let's call BS on that.
Yeah, I don't understand why we seem to be disorganized and we can't get the message through. And even Trump's lawyers yesterday seem to be disorganized and not able to get their thoughts together. This isn't a trial of court. This is a trial of public opinion, nothing else. And the Democrats ran this emotional piece. We should have ran the same emotional piece, only have black store owners saying, you know, you burned down my business, and not a dime from Black Lives Matter has been helped to rebuild my shop. You know, we have a black police officer who was murdered by Black Lives Matter. None of that is being presented in this trial. We need to show the distortion of this Orwellian dystopia that's going on is not being challenged. It's bizarre. Why? I'm puzzled at the defense of. Well, maybe they had a short time, whatever, but it was not.
No,
well.
They failed. I believe they failed on purpose to trash Donald Trump. Now, let me explain something important. While the trial is going on against Trump, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. There's a headline or an article in USA Today right now, this very second, that directly relates to this. Here's the headline. We needed more support. Capitol Police Officer Caroline Edwards said, USA Today. Now, here's what happens in the article. She said she battled armed insurrectionists, white supremacists, and other rioters for hours. I don't know if that's Trump supporters, but Trump has condemned white supremacy. I condemn it. Okay. But what is an armed insurrectionist, a white supremacist, and a, what was that? A rioter? Okay. She battled him for hours. At one point, she said she pulled out a container of chemical spray to repel attackers. Now, listen to me carefully. She said a supervisor told her to put it away. She said, I had a concussion. I felt at the very least I could defend myself and defend others from what was going on. Now, she's been on medical leave since the assault. Now, here's the interesting thing. She's one of the first members of her department that is able to speak about the riot and the aftermath. She characterized the department as adrift, inadequate planning before the attack, silence, and mixed messages from top leadership and a lack of trust in the leadership is the reality. Frontline officers were not informed of the potential for large scale violence, Edwards said. The leaders did know, but they didn't tell the rank and file. Anyway, bottom line is it's a riveting indictment about what's going on here. She couldn't even use pepper spray. So when we hear cops are all beat up, and I'm sad about that. Don't misunderstand me. But it's not the true narrative. Steve?
Yeah, here's the other thing, too, which we see this almost willful neglect. There was cries for help and preparation. In fact, I was told that Trump offered support prior to the speech and the rally for security around the Capitol. Yet the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, rejected all kinds of help. Now, somebody has to ask, was this willful neglect that they wanted something like this to happen? This is repeated throughout Democratic places where they're cutting police funding, and then they blame it on conservatives. This is not rational thinking.
So let me get this straight. The leadership knew that it would be massive. They were told by the FBI and others that it would be massive. They flat out ignored the warnings. They didn't tell their rank and file. Then the rank and file trying to defend themselves, and they're literally saying, stand down, officer, put that away.
Yeah, this is. You see this in the past where some of these riots have occurred where the city managers or the mayor said, told the police to stand down. And you see it repeatedly. And you, even what's ironic is after Trump's speech at the White House and the people are leaving, you see senators being, Rand Paul being attacked, and the police were pretty benign in their fence, except for the ones right close to them were using bicycles. That's all they had. So the mayor of Washington repeatedly tells people to stand down. Ironically, they were rioting again. And yet there were military right next, you know, around the Capitol. It didn't come help. And it turns out one of the press reports now says Republicans are costing taxpayers $450 million. Republicans aren't the ones calling for the soldiers to still be there.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. There's a lot of animosity there. The department has now barred officers from discussing the event. She's the only one that agreed to talk because she's on the union's executive committee. Nobody else will even talk. Ladies and gentlemen, you are being absolutely railroaded into this by the media and by the deep state. Some call it the swamp. Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. Larry Pratt, if you have time, stay there. Steve Stockman's going to be with us for the next hour. We got a lot more. Am I to be silenced next? Are you to be silenced next? LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. For Larry, Steve, and Sam, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.